name?
Partho Sadhu Khan.
Sadhu Khan.
Yes. Even though Khan is there, it is a Hindu title.
Oh, Sadhu Khan. Khan.
Sadhu Khan. Sadhu Khan, but in South India, I normally say, pronounce it like Sadhu Khan, otherwise people don't understand.
Oh,
see,
I haven't heard that.
That is how, that is not very common Bengali
surname. No, I don't know that. It's not common anywhere, is it?
Even Bengalis don't know, so you can understand, So that is why.
That means it's probably from outside Bengal.
No, no, I am from Bengal, but...
Well, all Bengalis are from outside Bengal, if you see the history.
Okay.
It seems. Most of them came from different parts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so please tell me.
Yeah, so... I am a blogger.
Activist. What's that?
Men's rights activist.
Yeah. You have some organization or something?
Yes. We have an organization called Sevenian Family, which works for men's rights in India. So basically how it started is there are a lot of feminist-centric laws in India, which is continuously
everywhere,
growing.
Everywhere, all over the world.
All over the world.
It seems,
And we are fighting against those gender-biased laws. Mm. We are trying to implement fairer laws so that we can instill justice.
Isn't
it
actually against the Constitution?
Yes, it's against the Constitution. And that is why I'm doing two things. One is the research on feminist theories, based on which our laws are being crafted. And I'm also doing a research on Vedic ideologies so that I can explain why our traditional society was like that and why the modern feminist theories are wrong. So this is the purpose why I have come here to... Actually, I have read your book, Women, Mothers, Masters. And I also heard your speeches earlier that kind of motivated me to learn our culture. The problem is Hindus is we become Hindus, but we don't know anything about Hindus.
You're born Hindus and therefore you think I'm a Hindu.
Yeah.
And Muslim is born a Muslim and therefore he thinks I'm a Muslim. Dog is born a dog and he thinks I'm a dog. No one thinks.
Yeah. So so the problem here is, as I understood, and when we were going through these problems, in 2012 I started my blog. The blog name is...
You have a personal problem? Married,
yes,
divorce,
yes,
all
divorced.
This kind of thing?
I'm divorced. Hmm. I'm divorced. So before that, actually, I didn't have any knowledge about these laws. Only after divorce I came to know about this, and I came to know about misuse and all. And that's why I got concerned. So when I came into this group, I saw that this...
Oh, the group was already there before you joined but you seem to become very active in that.
Yeah, yeah. So what happens, I'll tell you. 2005, this group was formed. This group was functioning from 2005 in different parts of country. But one problem we men have, we cannot write properly. Even given anything, any incident... we do not want to tell our stories. That is number one. And number two is maybe our qualities of writing is also not very good. That's what I found. Even
it's considered shameful.
Yes.
That you just say something like my wife beat me or something like that because you're supposed to be a big strong man.
Yes.
Although there are plenty of cases. I've seen personally women beating men.
Mm-hmm. So the problem...
With my own two eyes.
So I realized that the first thing that I need to do, even though we had other bloggers, first thing I understood the problem of communication. So we had this communication problem. So I thought, okay, I will resolve the communication matter. Even though...
Excuse me, could you move just into this center there? Because I'll get a stiff neck.
Oh, okay. No problem. Yeah. No problem, Prabhu. Maharaj. So that was the reason. I started. So far I was working on legal side, only laws, the policies, etc. And I do a thorough research before doing anything.
Mm.
But only after that, when I actually came across your book and heard some of your speeches, I realized that I need to study Vedic culture, Vedic ideologies. Because that is the only one point or traditionalism or why those cultures existed, that is only one thing that can give us strength, that can explain why feminism is bad. we were trying out in our ways, but maybe we were not successful. So that's why I took two things. One is research on modern feminism, and another one, parallel series on Vedic culture. So here today, what I'm trying to see, I understand certain things, but I have knowledge gaps. So I just thought maybe I'll quickly close those gaps, and based on that, I will build my knowledge. I'll read more, I will hear more. So that's what I thought. So now first I want to understand, in one of your speeches you said that men can advance spiritually better than compared to women. Women are not suitable for spiritual advancement. So why is that?
Why is that? Well, everyone gets a particular body according to their previous desires and activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord and His representatives in this world. Karmana daiva netrena janto deho pakate. According to our previous activities and under the direction of the Supreme Lord, we attain different bodies. And different bodies are suitable for different mentalities and people at different levels of karmic development. Development is a catchword for so-called progress, but different stages, different karmic levels.
Mm-hmm.
Different level, okay. Which means karmic means not just the activities that have been performed, but the kind of mentality that one has.
Mm-hmm.
And certain bodies, a certain kind of body goes with a certain kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a tiger has a mentality for eating meat and ripping and hunting and all this kind of thing. And that's a generalization. You may find some tame tigers also.
Mm-hmm.
In general, we could say a dog is more aggressive animal than a deer,
okay, yeah.
Which is a very timid animal. So there are certain generalizations, but they are fitting also.
Mm-hmm.
So human form of life in general is meant for God realization. It's only in the human form of life mm-hmm. that one can even ask or think about such questions as, why am I suffering in this world?
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about spiritual advancement, that spiritual advancement begins with understanding that we are spiritual living beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the body. We're not male or female or Indian,
okay,
or cats or dogs. We're in different kinds of bodies. But in the human form of life, we can inquire into this, understand our difficult position, and come out of it. The male form is more suited for this kind of philosophical inquiry. The female form is more suitable for sentimental religion. So it's not that women can't become spiritually advanced, but they, because the female form is, I'm talking about the human female form, is, it has a design within nature also for giving birth to children, so a very strong attitude of wanting to have children, to protect children, and for children they need a home, they need facilities, and the mother wants to provide all those things. Particularly the mother wants to do that. That's the natural psychology that comes with a woman's body. So a woman is more prone to wanting material things.
Mm.
Whereas a man can be renounced and is generally more concerned, not most men, but some men have a strong philosophical inclination and strong ability to perform renunciation.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, the male form is you're more likely to find philosophers, renunciants, people who make a strong vow for spiritual advancement in the male form of life. I'm not talking my opinion here, although I've seen that also, but that is also very clear from the Vedic Shastras.
Mm.
Whereas women, they are more inclined to home life.
Mm-hmm.
The common words, one of the common words for woman in Sanskrit is stri,
mm-hmm.
which comes from the same verbal root as vistara,
okay,
which means
okay.
to expand,
yeah,
to make. So that's also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Pungsa Striya Mitani Bhavametam Tayora Ho Hridaya Granthi Mahu Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapya Vitaya Janasya Moho Yamaham Mameti. The basic principle that binds us in this material world is attraction between male and female.
Mm.
And when a male comes in contact with a female, and then he has to think in terms of, I have to have a home. Just like even now up to today, in Indian marriage, arranged marriage, mm-hmm. not only in India, many countries are arranged marriages. Okay, then the parents of the girl will see, does he have a good home?
Mm-hmm.
Can he provide a home? Can provide income?
Mm-hmm.
So what the man needs for his personal bodily sustenance is mm-hmm. not very much. But the wife, because she wants to have children, she has a home, mm-hmm. some land, children, and then money. Srila Prabhupada often used to quote the economist Marshall, who he had studied in his college life, that he said that the impetus for economic development is the male-female relationship, that a man won't work unless he has a wife.
I agree.
And Prabhupada himself said when he first was, his first job that he got, he was appointed right out of college as a manager in a chemical, pharmaceutical concern. Mm-hmm. So the first thing he was asked when applying for the job, are you married?
Okay.
So the mentality that comes, the psychology that comes with a female body is more suited for material development.
Body, yeah.
And a man that comes with the male body is spiritual. It is possible, let's say. Most people in the world are not interested in spiritual life,
mm-hmm.
but for philosophical understanding,
mm-hmm.
for performing austerities,
mm-hmm.
the male form is more suited for that. And
okay.
I'll just add one more thing. I know you're anxious to ask again, but there is a prayer by Queen Kunti,
mm-hmm.
who is a great devotee, far more spiritually advanced than I'll ever be, and you know I'm presently in a male body.
Mm-hmm.
She prays tata to Krishna. She directly says to Krishna, tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidharatam katam pashemahistriha. She says that you, Krishna, you are attained by the great paramahamsas, the munis, the very thoughtful persons,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just a woman, so how can I understand you? So there are advantages in the female form also. The tendency to be trusting,
mm-hmm.
To be humble, tendency to love, which if that is directed toward Krishna, is most advantageous.
Okay. So I understand that male body is more spiritual, can be more spiritual.
Generally, but of course most people, they don't have much spiritual inclination. Most people are like shudras there, which means psychologically they're not...
They just want to...
Philosophically,
work.
Just eat, sleep, have some sex, and that's it.
So is it that to spiritually advance in our life, we need to essentially get rid of material world or lessen the material
One has to become free from the
material.
To spiritual advance means to become free from the desire for material enjoyment.
Okay. So you said that even if one is married in life, they can still spiritually advance by following their duties. Even shudras can spiritually advance.
To spiritually advance, it's not just following one's duties, but one has to have a motive to spiritually advance.
Mm.
That's one major reason why the Varnashram system degraded in India, because it just became a social system. You're born in a family, you do this duty, this duty, this duty, But the reason, why are we doing it? It should be for spiritual advancement. But then it just becomes a pattern and in which one caste is higher than the other.
Mm.
But why is it like that? Everyone's supposed to cooperate for spiritual advancement.
Okay.
But if they don't do that, then it just becomes material and then it just degrades into exploitation, which is the caste system that's
so, as
broken understand. Down in India now, but it's still a little bit of it's going on.
Somewhere. So as I understand, now Varnashrama and casteism, there's some difference. And as you said earlier, that a child born in a Brahmin family is actually a Sudra, but he needs to, you know, graduate to a Brahmin. Like, how that happens? Means if a child is considered as a Sudra, then, you know, how he becomes...
Janmana Jayate Sudra. At birth, everyone is a Sudra, even if born in a Brahmin family. Why? Because Sudra means Sochatiti Sudra, who laments.
Yeah.
Who has no ability to see beyond his immediate situation. So a child is like that.
Yeah.
But samskara bhavet dvija. By samskara upanayanam samskara, they're known as dvija. Veda partet bhavet vipra. By studying the Vedas, they become known as a vipra. And brahmajana titi brahmana. When one actually knows what is Brahman, then he can actually be called a brahmana in the true sense of the term. Now, it's not simply by birth. That should be understood also. But generally it is. In the pristine Varnashram system, because a certain person is sent into a certain kind of family because he has a certain level of development, spiritual development or karmic development. So one, a soul is sent into an environment which is suitable for his developing his own his desires he has.
Okay. So, means
generally by birth, but not fixed. And nowadays, everyone's, no one goes beyond the Sudra stage.
Actually, people don't know about these theories. I only heard it in your lecture only earlier. So, I'm just trying to understand, if a person becomes
people don't know anything.
That is true.
In Hinduism, it's a disgrace, actually. Yeah. They say, Garv se kaho, I'm Hindu, hai kyun? Why? Where's the Gaurav? What is that? I mean, at least the Muslims, they educate their children to know the Quran. The Christians, they educate their children to know the Bible. The Hindus have no idea of anything.
That's what, you know, I'm trying to do.
And then they worship Sai Baba, and then Saraswati Puja is just some drunken party. It's disgrace. The whole thing is... The way it's going on the mass scale is disgraceful, actually.
So that is why I've taken up this project, where I am trying to understand.
But still, there are so many good people. They'll go to Haridwar and take bath in the Ganga. There are many good things, but people don't know their own heritage.
But many of them may be going to the Haridwar without knowing why they are going. They are just
They don't know.
So my job here is to actually let them know, like.
Varanasi is supposed to be the most sacred place for many Hindus. It's also got one of the biggest red light areas in Asia.
Okay. So this one, Brahmins, so you said this is the process of one can become a Brahmin. So was there any process by which a Brahmin can be also degraded or, you know, demoted to a Shudra?
If a Brahmin drinks liquor, he's out. Not even Shudra. He's out of the whole Varnashram system. Lower than Shudra. Then you have to go and join the Chandalas. If he drinks alcohol, if he has illicit sex, if he eats meat without it being offered in Yajna, there is meat eating is there in Vedic culture. Even Brahmanas may eat.
Okay, when?
The thing is that it has yagya shishta, it has to be offered in sacrifice, but those sacrifices are finished in this modern Kali Yuga. Anyway.
Yeah, now I have a question on sacrifice. If we all are divine souls, how can we kill animals for sacrifice?
Good question. Therefore, it's forbidden in Kali Yuga. It's allowed in previous ages that animal killing can be there, but the idea is that you take an old animal, which is going to die, and then by the mantra, the animal which is killed can be brought back to life again. No one can do that nowadays. Also, that's allowed for Kshatriyas to go hunting in the forest. Mm. One reason is to because there are so many rishis living in the forest, so generally the rishis won't be troubled by the tigers and so on, but they may hunt animals, and but they also have to be ready to kill, because if you have to go to fight in a war, you can't be squeamish.
I agree.
So you have to be, you have to learn that hard-heartedness, that you don't become upset by killing. You have to be ready to kill people. That's a heavy thing.
They follow Kshatriya Dharma, so I'll learn about those things.
The animals which are killed by the Kshatriyas, certain of them can be used in sacrifice, and the Kshatriyas can eat that meat when it's offered in sacrifice. It's a concession to the material desires. It's not very desirable for a purified person to eat meat. It's not good. But people have that propensity, and therefore the Vedic culture allows it under restriction.
Okay.
It's not that you can just go and buy some meat or strangle a chicken, but it should be offered and under restriction. The Kshatriya has himself to go in the forest and then and face to face with these dangerous animals. Then that meat can be offered in sacrifice.
Okay.
Or for lower class people, they can offer once a month on Amavasya night one goat to Ma Kali, and then they can take once a month, not more than that. But at the same time, they have to say a mantra that says that now I'm killing you, in the future you will kill me. So they should understand that this is not good. You're going to get the reaction.
Okay. And there are certain customs, like the animal that is killed, that cannot be hurt, or there should not be any kind of damage or cut or anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The animal should be a sound body. Yeah. These are some details.
Yeah, anyways. So now, so that part is over. Now, let me come to understand one thing. Why did we have dowry system?
Dowry system it's different in different dharma shastras. You'll find different things in different communities. You'll find different things. One of the things is the stridham, that the women actually, they'll be given jewelry. They'll be given by their parents. Yeah, and that is theirs. It doesn't belong to the husband. So they may pass it on to their daughters, or in a time of great difficulty, they may sell it also.
Okay.
That's one thing. Another thing is that out of affection, now it becomes a bargaining item, but out of affection, the father says that the daughter's going, so I'll give so many things that will go into her household.
Okay. Means only this was the reason. Means stridham was the reason. Means
one thing is stridham, and the other thing is that whatever it's being given, that'll be utilized by her husband. So she's it's all part of the same. It becomes part of the same. She also partakes in that.
Yeah, I'm actually placing that argument only because after marriage, both souls get united, so we consider that as a unit. So we don't consider them separately. So I'm coming from the responsibility part rather than the rights part. That feminism.
Now, I'm just going to take a little dude prasad.
Sure.
I'll just take 5
no
minutes.
No problem. So shall I go out?
You can sit out there, it's better, actually.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
Sure.
I'll be out. Four
catches.
Oh, Hrishikesh Prabhu, you are
here? No.
Shall I go?
I was good. Cheer my goodness.
You good?
No, actually, before I was in there, yeah, so that's it. That's a good
thing. But how can I manage that? You're not from Bosha. Thank you, Bosha.
You still speak very good. Bengali. I don't know how people pick up Bengali so fast. I cannot speak of other languages. This is
It's an easy language.
This is frustration for me. I am trying to learn Kannada and not Hindi.
It's probably more difficult language. Just I'll be 5 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
very different.
That's why I'm trying to understand, you know, Varnashrama and there's like what goes in and the philosophy of life. And actually, what my intention is to popularize Vedic culture among people. And since my blog is not a religious blog, I work on social matters, which has got very high visibility in the researcher segment. So those researchers, like social and gender studies researchers,
they go to your blog, huh?
Yeah, they and activists. So
they mostly don't like it, I would think. Most of these researchers are all.
So what happens? I do get death threats also.
Really?
Yes. Recently, I think I forwarded one message to this occasion. I forwarded one screenshot.
Yeah, screenshot.
So I do get death threats.
Did you send that to me?
No, I didn't send that.
Actually, it has got something against ISKCON as well. I don't know how he came to know about it, but since I'm talking about Vedic culture and all, probably he could relate. I got one death threat recently, one from Calcutta and one from US. So this is the, you can understand.
Have you shown that to the police?
I didn't report, I'm just holding it, I'm just waiting for another one so that, earlier I have reported. Actually, police also is so biased, they start questioning me, so why do you have this kind of blog, what you are writing and this, you are talking against.
They might arrest you.
Yeah, so it's actually true. But our group is strong in that manner, but anyways. So now we were discussing about dowry. Now spiritual advancement.
Excuse me, that death threat means that they say if you don't stop this, we're going to come and shoot you or something like that.
Yeah, so it was very nasty. Not shoot you means very nasty language, and you know, you should we'll see, we'll close your blog or something like that. So I get used to it. So I nowadays I stopped bothering because they could not shut down my blog so far, and they are worried because all the popular policies that they want to bring, I intervene and I stop that.
Oh, you actually have had some success?
Yeah, I had many successes. I had many successes. The reason I am trying to learn, that's why I am trying to learn Vedic culture is, nowadays feminists are attacking our Indian culture. They are attacking our temples. See, I am a Hindu, even though I don't know anything about Hinduism, but I am a Hindu. So I need to learn about these things and to stop these things. So what happened to Sabarimala or what happened to Shani Singapur? These people, they
not
went...
Haji Ali.
Not Haji Ali. See, Haji Ali, they tried. Then these political parties, they came openly and said that if you come here, I'll break your bones. Then they stopped. But they could do it successfully in Hindu temples.
Who said that? Shiv Sena?
No, not Shiv Sena.
There they are. They're uns in Maharashtra. I know who do that. Of course, they're anti-Muslim also.
So the problem is...
But no, Haji Ali is visited more by Hindus than Muslims.
So see, Mohanraj, the problem is, for this temple, Shiv Sena didn't give this kind of threat. But for Haji Ali, political parties came forward.
Which political parties?
SP, I think Samajwadi Party. And
they have no presence in Bombay, do they? I don't think so.
Even if they have some, women came forward. For Shani Singapur, there were many Hindu women who came forward to protest, but they could not do anything because there was a huge police presence to stop that. See, Hindus being peace-loving people, they are actually not able to support their religion. And what is happening is, because our culture is being destroyed systematically and because we don't know anything about our culture, the problem is there. First is, Hindus need to know about their culture,
their tradition. Yeah. Hindus are their own worst enemies.
Yes. So
they've done... What the Hindus have done to Hinduism, the British would have never dared to do. Even the Muslims before. They didn't do such things.
So that is a big problem I find, and that's why I write. In fact, I have written, so far I have written on three things on Vedic India. One is on child marriage, why child marriage existed and how child marriage actually benefited our society. The problem of today's marriage, late marriage. What are the, you know, the birth difficulty, and that was a huge success. Then I have spoken...
You mean you got a lot of good feedback from it?
Yeah, means a lot of people liked it, and this is like now the best article all over, yeah, so far. So on Vedic culture I'm talking about. Then on menstruation we had some... we didn't know like why women were kept separate. You know, why certain customs existed. So there was a movie, there are some Hindi movies coming up. So there was a movie recently called Padman, which actually showed these things in a very bad manner. So I had to protest and, you know, stop the success of that movie. So what happened after my blog, then people became aware, they started blasting the movie. Okay, for trying to and I do a lot of research, not only on Vedic culture, but on the ground research from the activists. And the third one I have written is on Hinduism. What I have written, third one?
Of course, you'll find that these traditions are not only there in, for want of a better word, Hinduism. Child marriage, menstrual separation, it's
in
pretty much all over the world.
Yeah, traditional society.
Except in this so-called advanced Western society, which has is completely cut off from its original roots.
See, the problem is, the children who are born, the modern children, they need to know these things. They don't bother about it. They go by whatever sound good to them. See,
and what they're educated from the beginning.
Right.
And that's a major problem in our ISKCON also, that people, they take to Krishna consciousness, but they still believe what they were taught in the school.
And that's why in one of your speeches you told the school system is the most abusive system, we should not have any schools. So I'll come to that. Now, we discussed about dowry. I want to know about sati. I understand that women are, for spiritual advancement, women should follow their husbands.
Yeah, if their husband is spiritually advanced.
If they're at, okay, that clause is there. So if they're...
Well, socially they may follow anyway, just to keep the...
bonding.
To keep the social order, and for the children, they may continue to serve their husband and so on. But for spiritual advancement...
Okay.
They need to follow a spiritually advanced husband.
Okay.
In many cases, the wife may be more spiritually advanced than the husband. If the husband's a drunkard and a womanizer.
I had that question. So, in those cases, how women will get spiritual advancement?
This is not just a theoretical question. It's a practical question which comes to me and others all the time. Generally, I recommend that they should remain within the family situation. Otherwise, everything becomes very, very... They're in a disturbed situation, but it becomes more disturbed if they leave and leave the children. And then by peacefully practicing Krishna consciousness and not agitating their husband, they can go on making advancement.
Now coming to sati,
you could interview some of my disciples for that. This kind of advice is not universally popular in our ISKCON society. In many of our ISKCON leaders would recommend if the spouse is not spiritually interested, you just divorce them. But my general policy is to say, be patient, try and work it out. Take some time.
Yeah, divorce is not permitted. I think when Srila Prabhupada, he also didn't.
In the higher culture, it's not permitted. That went on in Hindu society. Among the divorce was there among Shudras and less than Shudras, like that, but not in higher society.
Okay. Now, coming to sati, why did sati exist?
Oh, well, that's the understanding that the husband has gone to a higher place, and the woman, her whole life is in serving him, so she goes to follow him.
Oh, okay.
That's the idea. But when it becomes by force, then it should be stopped.
They don't
feel pain.
They don't feel pain.
Because they're on a higher platform of consciousness. So you'll find there are many yogis, they don't feel pain then. Otherwise, how could they do it? Peacefully sit in the fire.
Yeah, okay.
But you have to see that there are so many accounts of that. That the British and others wrote how the woman peacefully enters the fire. But again, it has to be by choice.
Mm-hmm.
Even during the Muslim rule, they didn't like it, or they wanted to stop it, but the women had to get permission from the Nawab or whatever. Many would come, take permission and do it.
Okay. Now, I'm just trying to understand.
But there may have been cases of forcing also, so it should be stopped. I wouldn't at all recommend to bring it back now.
No, definitely, yeah, because of that probability, definitely, you know, we cannot actually decide whether it's really for spiritual advancement she's doing, or there is any force, so that we cannot actually...
I think it was when, in the 1980s, this Rup Kanwa...
Was
the 1980s?
Yes.
It was a big thing, yeah.
Yeah, after that, I think in Ukraine, I have given a speech where I heard this. So I wanted to know why did sati exist. And definitely, you know, certain practices we should not try to bring. We will not even propagate that. So that is one thing. Now, if women are kept indoors, means in homes, and like in Vedic culture, we had husband going out, only husband going out, and women not.
Please come here. It's going to be setting up bedding. Again, women going out, that would be in the higher castes, not for the lower castes, or the women who are fisherwomen, or they may be selling something in the bazaar.
Mm-hmm.
They may go out. That's generally a higher caste thing. The women
okay.
don't go out.
Okay, means
they wouldn't go out unaccompanied. They could go to the temple, but someone should be there.
Someone should be there. So why was that rule there? Means why was that custom there?
Oh, well, that you have to understand on a whole basis of protection of women. The whole Vedic culture, if it's properly running, is to help to overcome the sexual attraction.
Okay.
There should be
that.
No illicit sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, women were hidden away.
Mm.
They're not meant for. It's not like the modern age where everyone looks at them.
Okay. No, I understand. Actually, I take that path in many of my articles. So I just wanted to know that is the right.
But many of the things have been misused because of not understanding the purpose behind it.
Mm.
Keeping purity in the family is very important. For the whole thing rests on consciousness. We get different bodies according to our consciousness. We get liberated from material existence due to our consciousness. Our consciousness is polluted principally by sex desire.
Mm.
So that has to be controlled. If it's out of control, it's a very dangerous thing.
Right.
As we see in the modern age.
Mm. Right. So, is that the reason why gay marriage was sinful in Vedic?
Gay marriage, there's no idea. That's a completely modern idea. There's no such idea as gay marriage.
So
it's a very, very recent thing.
No, because our Supreme Court is trying to legalize it and I'm going to oppose it. So, I need to understand this philosophy. So,
marriage is a religious sacrament. In English, there's the word sacrament. In the Christian culture, there's sacrament, giving the communion, that means the bread, which is supposed to be the body of Jesus, that's called a sacrament, that's considered very sacred.
Mm-hmm.
Then baptism is a sacrament, when they baptize the child, or in some Christians, they do it later. Confirmation is a sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is a sacrament. In Vedic culture, it's called a sanskar. It's a religious act. It's not just a social or secular act.
Yeah, it is a religious act, yeah.
And it has a purpose, that the husband and wife come together for the purpose of dharma.
Procreation?
The procreation is the major part that's stated by Manu, that putrate kriyate bharya.
Bharya, yeah.
One should accept a wife, putrarte, for the sake of having sons.
Oh, yeah. I have a question here.
And putra pinda paryojanam. The putra offers the pinda.
Uh-huh.
So and that's required for having children. It's required so that husband and wife come together, not just like animals for sex.
Okay.
So if you take the religious element out of it, then why not gay marriage? It's not really marriage anyway. It's just two living beings living together because they like each other and they like to have sex together.
Why is that? Like putra, and then it came to my mind. Like India is very much criticized for its son preference. Why is the son?
That was there all over the world actually.
Why it is considered that only son can give pinda and or mukhagni and not the daughter?
To tell you the truth, I haven't thought deeply about that, but generally the son, if properly trained, is the son has all the responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
The son inherits the property of the father and also has the responsibility. He has more karmic responsibility than the woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know that? He has more karmic responsibility.
Than the woman. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is why, okay. No, because these questions are coming up very often nowadays in many social platforms.
Well, I would tell the people, if you want to understand this, don't just expect a one-line reply.
Mm.
It's a very deep culture. It has thousands and thousands of texts, a long tradition.
Mm.
It's not just something stupid that you can understand through your modern ideas.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, for all you're talking about rights and privilege, look at your society. It's a complete mess.
I agree.
Modern society is in a worse state. Even if you take their idea of history, it's in a terrible, terrible situation. So don't think that you got it all right. Because this culture, it's not based on exploitation. It's based on purification.
Mm.
But different people have different roles. In modern life, women are not protected.
Mm-hmm.
Protection of women is this central point in male-female dealings in Vedic culture, is that women should be protected. So that's not there, and they don't even want protection. They want to just be out and have boyfriends and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But protection means restriction also. You can't have protection without restriction.
So was sex a part of a religious commitment in
yes,
Vedic?
Yes, yes, yes. That's right there in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Dhamma virudho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatashaba. He says that sex, which is performed according to dharma, Krishna says, that is me. That is a representation of himself.
Okay, and that's why we have some temples.
You see, in a modern age, sex is just all—it's just lust. That's
yeah,
all. Just
yeah.
Like animals.
Mm.
Otherwise, in Vedic culture, that's performed with the specific aim of having children. Otherwise, not. I'm talking about when I say Vedic culture. Of course, it's a very broad term, but I'm talking about the higher level.
Mm.
It's shudras and less than shudras, they may do anything. But if it's just for the sake of lust, then it's. And that's all it is in the modern age. That's all it is. It's all about physical lust, and then you're talking about dowry means get as much money as you can, and then the main thing you're looking at the girl is how much money she can earn. It's all based on lust and greed, and it's very difficult for people who are raised in that consciousness to even imagine something more subtle, more deep. It's just like, for instance, someone who studied music can hear all the subtleties in a musical work of art.
Mm.
Someone who hasn't studied, they don't hear it at all. They can't understand it at all. To them, it just sounds like a bunch of noise. So, first of all, try to understand that this culture is based on a very deep spiritual understanding. And don't just judge it through your gross... society. What is your society? What is your culture? Bollywood, Lay's crisps.
Yeah. No. Nowadays we are trying to change it. So that's why I'm trying to change it.
No. I'm saying you tell them.
Mm.
You want to understand? If you want to understand these things, you have to go deeply. First of all, you should have a guru. What is the purpose of your life?
Mm.
You should have spiritual guidance.
Right.
In Vedic culture, you're not even considered a proper human unless you have a guru who guides you.
Yeah, yeah. So, now, in one of your speeches, you said we should not have schools,
Schools, these nonsense schools, which are just teaching people to be...
That I am realizing, actually,
nonsense
nowadays.
Nonsense rascals.
Because the school, syllabus can be modified and to brainwash people, that's happening now. Actually, I have the practical evidence. So only thing is that I am trying to understand in today's society if children needs to be educated, because the education...
To fit into this modern society, you need some education.
Oh, okay.
But then why do you want to be in this modern hellish society anyway? The whole education is just to put you into shudra mentality. I need to get a job.
I need to work.
I have to get a job.
Okay.
No, I have to work. I have to get a job. But maybe in that you understand work to mean a job.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that I could do my own business or farm the land, it doesn't enter people's mind. I need to go and beg someone to give me a job
maybe
and give me something.
Be a slave to the capitalist.
Yeah. It's a whole system is set up just to make people willing slaves, exploited. They get some money and they think that, oh, I've got a good job.
No, I am countering this, adding women to the workforce in a different way with modern economic theories, where, the equal number of participation...
There are plenty of things out there on the internet about this, how by increasing the workforce, by putting women, then...
Wages will come down.
The wages come down, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm actually targeting, I'm telling. Apart from this...
But the whole society is just completely insane. It needs complete revamping. We're talking about changing the laws and changing the educational system is just made up, it's just set up for a completely insane
yeah.
society, the whole society
yeah.
just animalistic. What's people goal with people just get some money and live comfortably, then it's just like animals, that's all. They have no higher goal in life.
Okay, Maharaj, I think I have taken a lot of your time, Maharaj Pranam, and thank you for your time. I think whatever basic things I wanted to learn, I have learned. And
yeah, I've said many things in lectures. I have many more things to say also. But if Krishna gives me more time in this life...
No, Pranam, I understand that tomorrow early morning you need to get up also. So
we usually get up about 3:30.
Yeah. So I'm just stopping it here.
Okay, fine.
What I'll do is I'll continue to hear your lectures and read your books.
Read Srila Prabhupada's books?
Yeah, I found those a little difficult to understand.
Yeah, it's heavy philosophy.
So first I need to understand basic things, then probably I'll go to that level.
Well, it's a bit difficult, but if we associate with devotees, they can help us to explain all these things.
Mm. Yeah, and that's why I am already in touch with Shyam Prabhu. So he is there.
He can help to explain all these things.
And he actually does a lot of research also. And I learn a lot of things from him as well.
Yeah. He's very learned, no doubt.
He told me about kibbutz society in Israel, where they initially had this women going out and taking equal part.
They're all equal, and then the children, they all went back, they wanted to be traditional. They
didn't
like
it.
Yeah.
So these things, and when I'm learning feminist theories nowadays, I'm hearing, I'm actually proving in my modern feminism that series, I'm proving that how they are bringing in double standards, and one theory actually is, against
hundreds
and
thousands of these theories, feminism, and it's, the public has to pay tax for all these stupid people to make all these stupid theories, which are of no benefit. And women are not at all happy in the modern. The more they're feministic, the less they're happy. It's all based on the idea that we can be happy by having our own independence and doing what we like.
No, I have proved it.
Which is not true.
Right. I have proved it in a different way. So what I have done is, I have done a research on gender equality, the index, and then the happiness index, and I have proved that the most happy countries are actually not gender equal. So that also I have proved.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they brought up recently that Finland's the most happy country. But did you see that one?
The latest one, no.
But the thing is that they say happy mean they say happy in terms of
money,
equal rights, money,
right,
then
right.
social services.
They're bringing.
But they're the things they presume should make you happy, but they don't see what are people actually feeling in their hearts.
So what
I live years in Bangladesh, you know that, and it was a great education for me. I was living among uneducated people for years, and it was the best education I ever got.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Most of the people at that time couldn't read or write.
Mm.
Probably now they do, because...
Uneducated people are actually very open-hearted, and they're very open-minded. Educated people, most often, they cannot change.
Big generalization.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now let me leave
okay,
you
Okay, you're
right
all comfortably set up for the night?
Yeah.
You're looking after you, huh? I appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, that is not a problem.
If you ever go to Gujarat, you could visit. We have a Nandagram community there.
Okay.
It's a prototype. How many people are 50, 60? Kine log hai wa? 40?
15 gharaste log rehte hain.
15, 30.
30 aur gurukuli bachche log
30. Gurukuli bachche 35.
Okay, 35.
Bachche
ko
aur unke family se aur hai.
So
family.
It's a pilot project for Varnashram.
Okay.
You can visit sometime. They're all voluntarily, and no one can force them to go.
Mm-hmm.
They're living and. These things we're bringing in. you can go and see.
Sure, Maharaj. Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, Rishikesh Mahapad?
No.